Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, today we're in Yeshayahu chapter 23. Thank you. Just mentioned two things that we had in last week. Last week's prophecy in 22, we talked about the there was mention of the during the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, where the people, the Kohanim, went up to the roofs. The enemy was attacking, and they were the people in charge of the keys, in charge of the building. And this was the structure, the place where people could perceive Hashem in this world. And Hashem was taking it away from them. And so they felt that they weren't worthy of it, and they threw the keys up to the sky, so to speak, like saying that, take it back, the keys. And they saw like a hand come down and grab the keys. That was the, and that's hinted to over here in the beginning in the vision of Yeshayahu of the Kohanim going up to the mountaintops. That was one major part of the vision. Other part of last week was dealing with a important officer whose name was Shevna, who was like a prime minister or important person in the government. And we mentioned that he was selling out the Jewish people. His plan was to open the gates to the enemy. The Jewish people was under siege, and he was very popular, and he even had picked out his grave. He had built a monument to himself. Shevna, we mentioned what happened was, it mentioned that when he was leaving, the angel caused the people that were going to go behind him to turn back. And so when he went over to the other side and they saw it was only him, they accused him of being a spy, and they tied him to the back of the horse, and that was Shevna. And again, that was mentioned too in last week. Those are the two major parts of the last week's prophecy. Okay, now we begin a different prophecy, 23. And this prophecy is about Tyre. Masa Tsar. It could be, over time, it's not clear exactly which place this was. Was this in Lebanon? It was an island, actually, so it's doubtful that it's the Tyre in Lebanon. Some people say it was Tunis. It was like an island on North Africa. There are different opinions about what it might be. What does he say here? He says Carthage. Anybody know? Is there a Carthage still today? No. It's a Phoenician colony in Spain. But the actual colony itself is not so significant. It's a prototype. This was a business, a colony that was known for being merchants. And they were the merchants. They were on the trade routes. And we'll see that merchants can be good or bad. In fact, in the ideal world, the merchants use their wealth to support good things. In the times of David HaMelech and Shlomo, the king of Tyre, of Tsur, was helpful to the Jewish people in constructing the Beit HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. And so when people use their wealth for good things, then Hashem gives it to them for that reason. They know how to use it. Where we're going to see that they became arrogant and they didn't use it for good things, it got taken away from them. And so Yeshayahu has this vision about a Tsur. Again, this was a Gentile nation, Halilu. When it says Hayelilu, it's like to cry out. People will cry out when they see the fate of this country. This area of Tsur would have different ships go through, and it was the stopping point when the ships would go from to bring their merchandise and drop it off and pick up new merchandise, and it was a huge marketplace. And he mentions that the ships that would go there were the ships of Tarshish. We know that from the book of Jonah, that when Jonah was looking for a boat to go real fast, he wanted to get away, you can always get a boat to Tarshish. That was the place to go. It was like some far-off merchant port. So they also went to Sur. And so everybody remembers this merchant place, and they remember it fondly. And it's a shame because it would be destroyed. And so the boats wouldn't have this stop to go to anymore, to drop off their wares, to pick up wares. What's going to happen? Ki shudad mi bayis. It's going to be destroyed or decimated. This one translates it as pillage. But I'm pretty sure that we had that word before. They didn't use it. Shudad means like destroyed or ravaged.
Sacked.
Sacked? Oh, okay. Sacked, pillaged. We get the idea, I guess.
Laid waste.
Laid waste. Okay. All the same. Shuda means that it will be destroyed or decimated. People from Kitim, this is where the enemies will appear who people didn't even know existed. One of the interesting things now in the land of Israel is that we always assume that our worst enemies would be the neighbors, the ones that are next to us. And the ones that are next to us, we're really not so worried about, you know, there's Jordan, Egypt, you know. It's never been a nice neighborhood. Syria has their own problems. But the biggest worry is Iran. And Iran has nothing to do with it. Persians. They're like, you know, it's so silly, like that Israel should have to worry about a country that's, but somehow they've got it into themselves that the Jews are their enemies. So too, sometimes an enemy comes out of left field. It's like a person doesn't expect it, and so all of a sudden the Kitim are going to come get it. Now, Damu Yoshve, the people will be quiet. They won't know what to say of the merchants, because this was the powerhouse of the merchants of the travel in those days. Where were the merchants of Sidon? Over Aya Maluka. That was the area where there was constantly being replenished, and the merchants were well known. And the harvest, the main transportation in those days was water. Before railroad, it really was water. A lot of the big cities are all located on waterways. That was because in up until recent time, that was the only way to get merchandise from one place to another, was by the sea. And so that also, that Tehi Socha Goyim, this was the first major market, the first Socha is the trade city. It was, he calls it the mart of the nations, This was the first big merchant place where all the nations would come. It was an island located in between continents, and all the trade went between Europe and Asia, and they would end up in Sur. And the city of Sur was the Sidon. Boshi Tzidon Kiyomar Yam Uz Hayam Lemor. The city that produced all this wealth and all this merchandise would no longer produce. Lo chalalti v'lo, it'll be like it never gave birth. V'lo, it won't give birth and won't raise. Young men, romamti besulos, young men and young women, there'd be like no future generation. Five, kasher shemel mitzrayim, and even far off people, when Egypt hears that this city, this very important merchant city is devastated, yechilu, they're going to quake. Nobody thought this could happen. Verse 6. Avru Tarshish Helilu. All those people that are going to Tarshish, your rest stop is gone. Your merchandise place is gone. Helilu, cry out. Yoshua, all the island dwellers, look what happened to this city. Verse 7. Hazos Lechem Eliza. This city was so happy and was so joyous and so bursting at the seams. Mimei Kedem, it was an ancient city. People would come from all over Lugur to be in this city. Nobody ever thought it could happen. And today, I mean, when you travel, you see the ancient cities that were, in their time, they were major cities, and now there's nothing there. They're like minor. It's just, you know, time, over time, things change. Mi yatzos. Whose idea was this? Who planned it? How could it happen that this major marketplace for the entire world would be devastated? Now, if you want to know about the people of Sur, Hamatira Asher Sukhra Sorim, they were famous. Their merchants were like princes. If you were from that city, you had a seat at the table. You had such a famous city. All the merchants were like princes. Kanana, even if you weren't a merchant, if you just had a seat there, it's like you have a seat at the stock exchange or something. You have Kananaha Nikva De'aretz. The merchants there, they were you got respect. You know, it's like it was basically like the stock exchange. That was the place where people bought and sold merchandise in the ancient times, and it was all. It was the system that all the ships relied on was to go to that city and to pick up wares and sell wares. And if you were a resident there, you had it made. You were famous. You were well known. You were respected. Verse 9. Well, earlier in verse 8, we said, who could have planned this? Who could have brought the calamity down upon them? The answer is Hashem. Yeah, the Hashem Svakos Yatzah. The Hashem had it in the plan. They thought they were going to last forever. No, they didn't. And this is one of the famous things that people that are arrogant get brought down. That's just the nature of it. Like the Hashem doesn't like arrogant. Arrogance is a bad quality. It's a Hashem. If you think Hashem has mercy for everyone. Hashem loves sinners, you know. I mean, he loves all people. He understands that we're human. But arrogance, he has very little patience for. That's one of the things that, one of the qualities that Hashem hates. And the opposite, Hashem loves humility. If a person is humble, that's how you find favor in Hashem's eyes. That's the greatest person we have, which is Moshe, was known for being the most humble. One of the things, if you've ever met some of our Jewish greats, they're humble. That's one of the, it's a very, you know, when you meet a great person and you see them and you see they have no airs about them, they're so humble and they're so easy to talk to, and they and you reckon, and that's a sign of greatness. The sign of greatness is not to be haughty and look down at other people and feel you're better than other people. Greatness is to be humble. If Hashem gives a person blessings, they're humbled by it. They feel that obligates them to do more. And when a person, when it goes to their head, arrogance, it's just it's like asking for trouble. It's almost like the Gemara mentions that arrogance is a form of idolatry, because instead of worshiping God, you worship yourself. I'm the greatest, right? Like, you know, that's... I mean, there are people in Hollywood who talk, you know, who act like that, and it's just there's no room for the service of Hashem when a person is like that. And so apparently this city was going, I guess it was a city or a country it had its own government on this island of Sur, but it was going to be brought down, and it was their arrogance apparently that did it. And Hashem planned it. L'chalagon, and he wanted to profane, it's really hinted to here, their pride. Kol tzvi'i, l'hakil kol nikvei de'aretz. The people needed to be brought down a notch. They thought they were, they thought that they would, it was their own greatness that and it was coming to them. And so Hashem needed to bring them down. Verse 10. Ivri artzek kiyor bas tarshis. You'll pass over that land, the merchants that used to go there, ein mezachod. People won't be arrogant anymore. There'll be no more arrogance over there when they see what happens. What will Hashem do? Yada netuya alayam. Hashem, like, sent out the signal over the seas. The country was independent, and so they had no immediate neighbors. Usually you worry about a neighbor, but Hashem somehow caused far-off nations to want to pick a fight with it, to come out of the middle of nowhere. Hirgas. Hirgas means like he, you know, all of a sudden someone decided, hey, let's go pick a fight with Tsur, let's go conquer it. Mamlochas Hashem. Hashem got the other nations, other countries angry at it. Siva El Kanan Lahashmid Mosneha. Hashem was going to bring down its strongholds. Verse 12, Yamarlo says, Sifat Od La'alos, you're not going to be happy and rejoicing. Hamashuka Basulas Basidon. It's called a virgin city in a sense that they've never faced enemies. A virgin usually means a person that's never been married or a person that's young. In this sense, they've never been attacked. They've never had other nations come against it. And so this city that acted like out of arrogance, so they were going to face the battle. They were going to face war. And the Chittim, these were other nations, Gam Sham Lo Yinuchlach, they will have no rest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says here that issued a command against Canaan. Is that referring to Tyre?
Yes.
Oh.
Canaan here means merchants.
Oh.
That's the sense here, not the Canaanites.
I see.
13. Hey, Eretz Kastin Za'am Lohayu Usher Yosta. This area originally was established by Assyria, these different islands and boats. Hekimu Bechonav Oru. I'm going to say Shamalim Apela, but its big towers and its big buildings would be destroyed. 14. Now, everybody looked to this place as a rest stop, as a place to go. They couldn't go there anymore. Now, if you're a long-distance traveler and you need to make a stop there, then what are you going to do? You need to replenish, you need to refuel. And so the ships on the way to Tarshish, they wouldn't be able to stop there anymore. 14, Elilu Aninus Tarshish, the boats of Tarshish, Kishudad Muzchem, your stronghold, the place where you would go, is going to be destroyed. So this was the message that was given to this city, this island, that they were a prophecy of Yeshayahu, that there was an arrogance there, that there was a they thought they had it coming to them, they worshipped themselves, and so therefore they would be destroyed. The interesting thing is it wasn't going to be permanent. They're going to get another chance. Verse 15, it's only 70 years. Now, by the way, the Eretz Yisrael was destroyed for 70 years. So it's interesting, like they get like 70 years. 70 years is like a man's lifetime. That's always thought of it as 70 years. Some people live more, some people live less, but, they would be it's sometimes, you know, when you have a computer or whatever, it needs to reboot. You need to turn it off for a little while. Or a motor or an engine or something. It needs to be in down mode. So this city would be down for 70 years.
If 70 years would be like three generations,
mm-hmm.
but they're punished to the third and the fourth.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, if you think about it like that. Mm-hmm. Because you have every 70 years is a few generations. The 70 is also like the number of nations, or 70, like the 70 nations. But, Now, what happens though is when they would try to rebuild, it would never quite be what it was. That's basically what's going to happen here. But let's see. 70 years, people forgot about it. It was like the days of a king. It was long forgotten. At the end of 70 years, the wording here is a little bit difficult. It uses the word of a harlot, of a prostitute. And what it is that when they tried to rebuild, what would they be willing to do anything to get back? A harlot is someone who will do things for money, that will do immoral things for money because they want the money so much that they are willing to sell themselves. And so when they would rebuild, it's used in those terms, that they were willing like to sell themselves to the highest bidder. Sometimes the words of the prophet they come out harsh, you know, that in describing them. But those are the words they use. What can I tell you? What it wants to describe is apparently if a harlot doesn't have enough business, what they would do is they would go and sing, and that would advertise their wares that she was available, and so she would go singing that maybe some of her old customers would remember her, and she would have business again. And so it describes over here that this was a city that sold their values for money. And now we don't like the word harlot because our society is what it really bothers people that it's the people that pick on the woman who and they don't pick on the immoral man or the immoral. There's a lot of immoral behavior that goes on, and the merchants that are dishonest and the cheap people, that's also somebody that sold their wealth for their values, their belief and their this is what it says here, though. Kiki Kino, go and get the music instrument, like a harp. Sovi ear, go around the city. Zona Nishkacha, it's like a forgotten harlot. Heitivu Nagin, and sing your songs. Harpi Shir Laman, maybe people will remember you. 17. V'hayu Miketz Shivim Shana, and then at the end of 70 years, Yifkad Hashem Esor. Hashem will give you another chance. He will come back. He will give Sur another chance. V'shavul Esnan. And they will get back their wealth. The city will rebuild, but it's not described in a good way. It's almost described like a harlot will get her hire, meaning that if the country is not built on value, if the wealth isn't raised with morals, then it's like a harlot. The Zon says, and this country will prostitute, will do the immoral things for all the countries. They'll sell you anything, and they'll take shortcuts, and they'll cheat people, and it doesn't matter to them, right? Well, I think they get to rebuild. Like Hashem says, 70 years, that's the punishment. You'll get to rebuild, but
it's not like it was before.
Not like it was before. But the people, they'll rebuild, but they'll prostitute themselves. They won't build themselves based on morals. They'll be willing to do anything for the buck. They'll build themselves up as merchants. And they'll raise money with immoral things by not doing things correctly. So,
but it says, "And her commerce and her hire shall be holy."
Oh, that's the next line. We're going to get there.
Okay.
So now this is describes if you go out into other countries. There's a certain anger at the Western world or the United States, and it needs to be understood. Some of them feel that the Western countries take advantage of the poorer countries, where the big companies, the sneakers companies and the car companies, they have these factories where they work people that the people don't have health care, and they work children, and they work them crazy hours, and the people get sick, and then they use that wealth all the wealth gets exported to other countries, and they feel that the wealth that has been earned hasn't been earned morally. So in their country, they say, "Oh yes, we have labor laws, and oh yes, we don't exploit the children." But what do? They open companies in countries that do exploit children, and they do. And they say, "Well, those people are happy to have those jobs." And that's very much in the news. If you ever follow that, you'll see. Part of the problem is you never know how much of it's true and how much of it isn't. You know, to what extent are those places exploited, not exploited? But there's some truth to it. Otherwise, if there was no truth to it, you wouldn't hear it. And so the wealth of countries or of certain places sometimes built on the backs of poor people or people that aren't reimbursed for what they do, or money that was taken away from them. They took the minerals, they took other things from countries, and they they paid dictators, and they didn't really pay the people back. They paid some dictator for the mineral rights in these African countries, and they exploited the locals. Is it always the case? No, absolutely not. But again, there are plenty of people that exploit others, and so this wealth that was built, it's called an esnan. It's called the hire of a prostitute, in a sense that it wasn't earned in the right way. What will happen to the wealth in the end? So if you remember, I mentioned earlier, when they first started, they did give money to the building of the temple and the service of Hashem, and they were considered a very moral and good nation. At the end of time, they will want to use their wealth to support Hashem also. And so all of these things all this wealth that was earned in the end will be go back to Hashem. That's what it's kind of saying over here. Verse 18, V'hayu sachra, all of the wealth that will be rebuilt, the esnanaha, and even the stuff that was used, the money that was made immorally, kodesh l'Hashem, it will then become holy. It'll be used to rebuild. It's all, I think of this guy Sheldon Adelson. He's the in Las Vegas. He has all the gambling companies, and he just gave $50 million to the day schools in Las Vegas. $50 million. Wouldn't they could build a lot of day schools for $50 million? That was in the news this week.
They have that many Jewish children.
No, they don't. I don't know. That's significant. So I mean, I can't speak to whether the money was raised illegally and what kind of stuff. We assume the gambling is corruption involved. That's what we assume. There's an idea that I guess people that raise these kind of monies imagine that they'll buy happiness with it, or that they'll use it, and to some extent that wealth will be used for holy purposes. That's what it's describing. And so if the Western world is a built-up world and it creates a lot of wealth, it's saying that this wealth along the merchants of Tzur will eventually be used for Hashem. It's an interesting concept, yeah.
But what about the situation, should a school or should a university accept money when there's some question about...
Right. So, if the people will continue to do bad and they're giving this to ease their conscience, then they shouldn't take the money. If it has nothing to do with the people continuing to do bad, or they feel like they can do bad as long as they give charity or whatever, that's so then they become part of that, that situation. But if somebody that's hasn't been very moral wants to turn over a new leaf and do good things with their money, then Beth Jacob's doing a building fund, I'm sure they would consider see if they can find it somewhere that they'd be allowed to use it. There are people that take a strict view about the donations that they accept. Believe it or not, there are places that will only accept donations that are given that they can guarantee that the money was earned honestly, and that the people are giving it with the they weren't pushed into giving. You're not supposed to. Sometimes people are pushed into giving money they really don't want to give, or they can't afford to give. You're not supposed to do that. And so there are there's no question that in the ideal world we should only take donations from the where people want to give, and they want to give for the right reasons. I think I mentioned to you in one of my earlier times, I had a synagogue that had money from a bingo. In certain states, they don't only allow bingo for nonprofits. And so a lot of those places, the synagogues and shuls, they run on bingos. And so and that shul was never successful, I think, after I left that. And there's a question when the source of your money comes from, a lot of the people that gamble were people that really couldn't afford to do it, and they were just addicted to gambling. And they would just every night, and they would, instead of, using the money for their kids, it was just, it wasn't, there is a gambling that's entertainment, and then there's a gambling that's immoral, and you have to know how to, separate between the two. Oh yeah, I have nothing. I have no information. Anything he's doing is wrong. I have nothing against him. People assume. There's almost that assumption that there's so much mafia involved in gambling that if someone, you know, did well with it, that he's somehow involved with all the bad things that take place there. But by no means, I'm sure there are good people that are there. In Europe, the Jews ran the saloons. You know, our bubbies, they ran the saloons because they didn't get drunk and they could be trusted. You know, they and it was nothing, you know, it was just, there's honest people in many surprising different fields. But over here, it uses that word about this particular country, their business, that they've prostituted. It means that they've earned their wealth in ways that they've sold themselves to do it. They've crossed certain lines in order to earn their wealth. And it's saying in the end it'll be used for holy things. Is that their tshuva maybe, or is it just that eventually that's where it'll go?
From this period, doesn't Hashem repeatedly say, I don't want your offering, I don't want your...
Yeah, well,
I don't want something that is hypocritical.
Yeah, so they actually asked this question in the Torah. It says that they weren't allowed to use the wages of a harlot in the temple. Apparently they used to, some people would pay a harlot by giving her an animal. You'll see, by even the Torah mentions Yehuda, that he would give her a goat. So those animals are not allowed to then be brought in the temple, the direct wages of the... But this is sometime later. It's saying that even people that made mistakes or in merchants, it'll become holy for Hashem. They maybe thought this wealth would be stored and it would be used for whatever it would be. In the end, it'll be used for Hashem. There's an idea that the entire world eventually will be used for Hashem, and that all of the advantages of science and things that people have created will be used in honor of Hashem. And those that sit in front of Hashem, that'll be their... they'll get their treasures, the echol, the lasava, and they'll be satisfied. The machasa atik, and it's almost like there's all kinds of people that whether it's drug money, whether it's illegal money, whether they were dishonest about it, but that wealth in the end will be used for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. It'll be used for holy things, and that's just the... I guess there's a certain irony to how things happen. That money, which they thought would be used for that, look what it was used for in the end. But this is a description of what would happen to this city. The main lesson I took out of it was somehow that there became a certain arrogance there, even though it was from the fact that there's a prophecy about it and there's a sadness to it. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy when somebody becomes arrogant and somebody loses their focus and somebody, Hashem's anger comes upon them they get a chance later to rebuild. Without knowing more of the details, some of it is left to our imagination to figure out as well. Okay, we'll stop here. And as I mentioned, next week we'll be off. It's Hashem, I'm going to be out of town. And then the following week we'll... right after Purim. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.